everybody. Welcome to Story Junkies, where we talk about movies, books, and television because we're addicted to story. Hi, I'm your host, author Pete Bauer, and this is a solo episode where I want to take an in-depth look into the Dirty Harry movie franchise. Unlike Harry Potter, entering the magical world of Harry Callahan, or Dirty Harry, is entering a world of violence and vigilante justice. In many ways, Damien Hill, the main character in my latest thriller series, is a throwback to the anti-heroes from the 70s, such as Frank Bullitt, made famous by Steve McQueen and an epic car chase through the streets of San Francisco in the movie Bullitt, and by the character of Dirty Harry, portrayed so effectively by Clint Eastwood in five movies released between 1971 and 1988. And Mel Gibson played a similar character as Martin Riggs in Lethal Weapon, released in 1987. These characters are cops who play by their own rules, while at the same time being intolerant of those who break the law. In some ways, they are vigilantes within the justice system, bringing down vigilantes who work outside of it. For me, this lines up well with Damien's story. Damien lives in a small town in northern Florida and grew up in an abusive home. His father's moral compass spun in circles, with him at its center, and Damien felt the injustice of his anger every time his father's belt struck his skin. As a child, he also watched the injustice of his best friend's father, who was black, arrested for a crime he didn't commit. It was this inconsistency of trying to figure out what was right and what was wrong that led Damien to the police academy, where laws were clearly defined on right and wrong. But there were still problems with justice, so he and his best friend Ted, having seen the abuse of the police badge firsthand, were determined to fix it from the inside. Of course, these times are a little different than when Dirty Harry walked the streets of San Francisco, but the polarization within society remains consistent. In the 1970s, the youth had become disillusioned with the decay in society, were caught up in the cultural and sexual revolution, and were tired of foreign wars. They believed those in high office were abusing their power and using it for immoral purposes. Today, we have a similar polarization, except now it's separated by political parties. You know, I strongly recommend that you read the book Pendulum by Michael Drew and Roy Williams. It explains the societal cycles between the me generation and the we generation. It is the we generation that is the most dangerous, and we are nearing the peak of a we generation. During this time, it spawns nationalism, groupthink, and ends up separating people away from those who disagree with them. In the we generation, if you're not with a specific group, you're against them. It's not an and society, it is an or society. So Damien's character fit right in with this anti-hero, not trusting the mechanisms of the societal and global machine because no one trusts the other side. While watching the Dirty Harry movies, it was interesting to see some of the things that were both entertaining and, looking back by today's standards, both concerning and uncomfortable. For example, oftentimes the thugs in these movies, at least the street hoodlums, were all portrayed by black men, using words like sucka and cracka. Robert Townsend, a talented filmmaker, made an independent film in the 90s called The Hollywood Shuffle about a black actor who simply wanted an equal playing field in Hollywood. And no matter where he and his fellow black actors went to school, whether that be Harvard or no college at all, they were all typecast into an uncomfortable, street-level thug role. Hollywood Shuffle was a comedy, and it was really well done, but I couldn't help but think of that movie while watching the Dirty Harry movies. That's not to say the Dirty Harry movies are racist, especially by the standards of the time when they were made. Now, they could be deemed as such by certain segments of society today, but to me it doesn't show overt racism, as it does stereotypes that we have fortunately outgrown as a society and no longer find acceptable. Some of the funny things that didn't really travel well from the 70s and 80s to now is the procedural aspect of Dirty Harry, or better said, the lack thereof. Today we're inundated with shows about crime scene investigation and police procedurals, and I have four nephews that are police officers, and I can tell you Dirty Harry doesn't follow any procedures. Now, granted, these movies were made before the advent of DNA, but Even wearing gloves so you don't contaminate a crime scene with fingerprints would have been helpful. But the most egregious was that most of the movies opened up with Dirty Harry stumbling upon a crime in progress and using his 44 Magnum to stop the threat. He would show up, kill all the bad guys, and then continue about his day. That's a vigilante-style movie. However, we know now that a police officer, after a shooting, has to relinquish their gun and is put on paid administrative leave until an investigation is done to show whether or not the shooting was justified and properly handled. Now, maybe they didn't actually have that procedure back in the day, but I'm pretty certain you couldn't just shoot five people and then go to the office and see what's on your to-do list. I'm just guessing. Now, if you like vigilante stories, there's a lot to like in the Dirty Harry films. It has violence, it has man against the machine, it has the outsider who working outside the rules but within the law can solve crime better than others, and it also has some of the most iconic lines in film history. For example, in the first film, self-titled Dirty Harry, the story opens with Harry foiling a bank robbery by killing all but one of the perpetrators. As the alarm bells ring and the police approach the scene, Harry has a memorable exchange with one of the thieves.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
You know, this exchange was so powerful, they used it again at the end of the movie, when Dirty Harry is facing down Scorpio, a serial killer fashioned after the real-life Zodiac killer who existed in the San Francisco area around that time. But you know what? That's not all. The line became so popular after the movie was released that filmmakers chose to have the audience hear it one more time during the opening credits of the second movie. And that movie was called Magnum Force. The second film was my favorite of the series. In that movie, four Vietnam vets joined the police force in the motorcycle division. Dressed in their distinctive helmets, sunglasses, and leather outfits, driving powerful motorcycles, they exact vigilante justice on those who have escaped the court system. Visually, the motorcycle brigade of vigilantes is very powerful, and during a confrontation with Dirty Harry, it forces Harry to look in the face of a form of vigilantism that was not far from his own, and he had to make the distinction between why what he does was right and what they were doing was wrong. The Enforcer, released in 1976, is the third film in the series where Harry is teamed up with a female partner, played by Tyne Daly from Cagney and Lacey fame. And this was a legitimate issue back in the 1970s about the lack of female police officers, so the film did tackle this issue, and she ended up being a valuable partner. Together, she and Harry took on a terrorist ring, calling themselves the People's Revolutionary Strike Force. And the funny thing is the climax of this movie takes place on Alcatraz Island. And only a few years later, Clint Eastwood would star in the movie Escape from Alcatraz, shot obviously at the same location. The fourth movie was called Sudden Impact, and it was released in 1983. This was directed by Eastwood himself, but it was also my least favorite of the series. In it, Dirty Harry follows a lead to a small town where a series of murders are connected to a rape victim who is avenging a group of rapists who left her damaged and her sister catatonic. My issue with this film is the choice of Sandra Locke as the lead actress. She was Eastwood's real-life companion for 14 years, and she stars as the victim and vigilante. For me, her performance was weak and provided little empathy for her character. A stronger actress could have brought a heart, albeit a broken one, to this otherwise violent series. Even though this was my least favorite movie in the franchise, it did have another one of the signature lines that keep Dirty Harry's legend alive. In the opening, Harry stumbles upon a diner robbery in progress. While getting his morning coffee, he shoots all the thugs except one, who is holding a waitress at gunpoint. And that's when he gave us this memorable line.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The last film was Deadpool, and it was released in 1988. In this film, Harry finds that he is among the subjects of a Deadpool, a game where people bet on the deaths of celebrities due to their bad habits and dangerous occupations. Someone ends up trying to rig the game by killing the listed celebrities, which include Dirty Harry, and a female reporter played by Patricia Clarkson. Harry must protect her while trying to track down the killer. As far as the movie franchise goes, from a plot and character perspective, the movies follow a tried-and-true formula, while the main character remains relatively the same. Each film opens with Dirty Harry solving a crime violently before moving on to the main investigation. In each film, Harry is the outsider, fighting against leadership that doesn't trust him and partners who fear for their lives while working with him. All the movies end with Harry bringing justice by the bullets shot from his .44 Magnum. The lone exception to this is Sudden Impact, where Harry lets the rape victim go. As for character development, Dirty Harry is a lot like Jack Reacher, in the sense that they don't change from one story to the next. Dirty Harry gets older and less patient, but he doesn't really evolve, because he always believes the first choice should be the violent one. As for the villains, they're a legitimate threat, but they're rarely well-defined, and can often come off as caricatures, especially the antagonist in the early films made in the 70s. I gotta tell you, the look, phrases, and style of the hippies doesn't play well 50 years later. Another surprising aspect of watching this series was to see actors early on in their careers. In the first Dirty Harry movie, Cameron Manheim, who's currently on Stumptown, and has been popular in a lot of other shows like The Ghost Whisperer and The Practice, can be seen in an elevator while Harry berates a convict who escaped justice. She doesn't have any lines, but it was cool to see her in her first scene. Also, in the Deadpool, you can see an early Jim Carrey as a heavy metal rock star making a music video, and a young Liam Neeson as the music video director. For me, it was really interesting to see these actors in roles that were outside of where they found their sweet spot. I mean, Jim Carrey is obviously known for his comedy, and also some touching dramas. And Liam Neeson is known for, well, a lot of movies, including Star Wars, and for being a fellow vigilante hunter for those who hurt his family in the movies Taken. But everyone needs to start at some point, and it was fun to see these well-known actors playing characters I didn't expect. If you want to watch a classic vigilante justice series, then Dirty Harry is an excellent choice. If you can forgive uncomfortable stereotypes, bad police procedural techniques, and not the deepest of plots, you'll enjoy Dirty Harry's humor, iconic lines, determination, and a certainty that what he is doing is right. As we live in a society where we can feel so polarized, where we have all these ways to connect, yet still feel so alone and disconnected, it can be thrilling to see the world through the eyes of someone like Dirty Harry, or even Damien Hill, where, though they are flawed, the moral gray areas we struggle with become black and white for them, and they feel that the world is better with their brand of justice in it than without it. Well, that's it for this episode. I'd love to hear what you think of the Dirty Harry movies or any other movies, books, or TV shows that are vigilante in style. You can drop me a line in the comments or on my author page on Facebook, which I'll leave a link in the show notes. So that's it for this episode of Story Junkies. Thanks for hanging out with me today, and I'll see you guys next time.